Let's pray. Father, we pray that you'd help us to, as we continue to study the life of Jacob and your work in his life, that we might learn from him and learn about you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the last part of Genesis 30. We looked at that a couple weeks ago when Jacob got two wives. Remember that? For the price of two. For 14 years of his life. This is after apparently his second 7 years is over. Because remember, the first 7 years was to work for Rachel. He's given whom? Leah. And then they make a deal to get Rachel for a second 7 years. And this seems like this is over now. Okay, the second 7 years. Second 7 years is over. Okay. So that's where we pick up at. So look at the first box there. It says, and it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said to Laban. Okay, and it had been about that 7 year point then. Send me away that I may go to my own place and to my country. So Jacob's ready to go home after 14 years away from his own family. If I remember the timeline, he's roughly, I think, around, what was he, 100 years old at this point or something? He's pretty old. He says, give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you. And let me go, for you know my service which I have done for you. So Jacob asks to leave. Now this, I think, is kind of odd, but it probably gives you a little bit of what the culture is there and also the circumstances by which under which Jacob is. Okay? Jacob's timing, I already talked about that. He didn't go to do you have a timeline? It's one of those timelines here. I don't know if that's here. Here it is. Let's see here. I'm looking for an age. Esau, they were 40 years old when Esau got married. 77 years old when Jacob goes to Haran. So he would have been 84 when he got married to Leah and 84 when he got married to Rachel, only he owed 7 more years. So it was roughly, he was 90 years old when Joseph was born. Okay? Roughly, give or take. And then that's when he talks to Laban and he says, hey, I've paid, let me go. Now it's interesting, but so Jacob's paid his debt. Jacob's requirement here, this is what I don't fully understand, and maybe you can give some ideas, but why would Jacob, he's 90 or 91 years old, why would he have to ask to go anywhere?
He was an indentured servant. He was not, even though he was a relative, he was an indentured servant. He made an agreement with Laban for his wives. I mean, yeah, for his
but, wife. And I agree with that. Did he not pay his debt?
He has his children too. And they were part, you don't understand this until you get into the law. And this is just an expansion of the law, because what ends up happening is a person could have a servant, and he had a wife going in, the wife left with him. If he didn't have a wife when he went in, and the guy gave him a wife, he had to buy the wife. He had to also serve for the wife, and if they had children, he had to serve for the children. So it was basically just a way of...
However, the law isn't in effect here.
I know, but I'm just saying, this is the premise for the law.
Well, I'm saying it's not the premise for the law at all, because there's no indication that it was. God was laying down laws without any premise, necessarily. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's probably more where it was. Laban was the head of the family, and even though Jacob had fulfilled it, he needed a paid in full sticker to be able to walk out the door. And I'm not arguing with what the law says, Jim. I'm just saying there's no way to say that God said that because of this.
No, no.
And Laban wasn't following any law, per se. So, you know, that's the way it turned into under the law. If you were a slave, your children, and you got married after you became a slave, your children belonged to your master. That's not necessarily the case here. It seemed evident that Jacob's wives were his wives and his children are his children, but he still needed the okay from Laban, who was the head of the household and also the legal, the guy that held Jacob over the legal barrel because of his agreement. Okay, so Jacob's basically, and by the way, it's Jacob that has to bring up to Laban. Laban's not running to him saying, hey, you fulfilled your term, time to go now, you know, thanks, here's your paid in full sticker. Okay, Josh, can you, Loretta and Jen. So I think that's probably the idea there. Our culture is different. We're independent almost to a fault, are we not, in the United States? Nobody has the right to tell me what to do. And I'm saying that's a new idea. Because throughout time, there were authorities in people's life that actually governed over them, including parents, for example. You couldn't, like Jim and Dory went to a wedding yesterday, and as is custom, who gives this woman to be this man's wife was asked in some way, shape, or form. And Doug, the father, said, her mother and I. Okay? Now, knowing Doug and his wife and the family, that meant more than some people have it mean, because they get married no matter what you think. And I think that's a fault of our condition today. I think God gives us parents, and in the Old Testament anyway, at least the daughters were very much under the protection and provision of their fathers until they were married, and then that provision was and protection was passed on to the husband. Okay, so in other words, a daughter couldn't get married unless the dad said so, because he is caring for her. Okay, and then the guy that's marrying her is assuming full responsibility at that point afterwards to care and provide for her. What's Jacob's request? He says, give me my wives and children. And notice his reasoning here. It says, Jacob's reasoning is, for whom I have served you. He says, I've paid my debt. I have fulfilled our agreement, in essence, of my 14 years of service. You know that I paid my bill, in essence. Okay? So Jacob asked to leave. So he says, you stamp this paid in full, it's time for me to go. And you know that I've paid my bill. So then, number two, let me read verses 27 and 28. And Laban said to him, please stay if I have found favor in your eyes. I don't know. I'm reading in between the lines right now, which I despise, mostly in the Bible. But it seems like, based upon what Jacob will say shortly, that obtaining favor in Jacob's eye, or Laban's eye, Laban attaining favor in Jacob's eyes is a stretch anyway, because he's the one that snookered him into marrying two wives in the first place. You know what I mean? So it's like, well, if you trust me and think I'm a good guy, it's like, well, I think we've lost that battle already. Okay, but that maybe this is more cultural, but I can't imagine that Jacob thinks any more highly of Laban now than he did 7 years ago, and I think the text will show that in the next point here. But notice he says, if I have found, Laban says, if I have found favor in your eyes, for I, please stay if I have found favor in your eyes, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake. Wow, that's a huge thing. Laban has watched Jacob 14 years, and Laban has grown substantially in wealth, as you'll see here in a second. So Laban goes and says, then he said, name me your wages and I will pay it. 14 years Laban has seen, and he says, I want to keep going what has been going for 14 years. Name your price. Okay, so Laban asked Jacob to name wage, I just call it wage terms. Name your price. Name your wage and I'll pay. I mean, Jacob was that valuable to Laban. He says, name your price. So what does Jacob do? This is interesting, okay? And I think it shows very much what Jacob understood Laban to be. So Jacob uses strategy and wisdom to negotiate, okay? Because Laban is not an honest man, and so he has to find a way that Laban cannot cheat him further, okay? And he does that. So Jacob's offer, we'll just call it Jacob's offer. And this is the longest part here, so I'll just jump back and forth. So first, Jacob gives his reasoning. This is like a summary of his resume of sorts. But he says, Jacob says to him, you know how I have served you. You've seen me work, and you even talked about it just now, right? And how your livestock has been with me. Okay, you know how, like you just said, how you've prospered the way I've worked. So that's my reputation. You've seen what I do and the results of what I do. Verse 30, more my results for you. For what you had before I came was little. So Laban didn't have much. And by the way, Laban doesn't argue this at all. Laban had very little. And it has increased to a great amount. In 14 years, Laban has gotten rich because Jacob has managed Laban's stuff. The Lord has blessed you since my coming. Okay, so that's my results for you. Now he says, my results for me. Now Jacob implies this, but notice he says, and now, when shall I also provide for my own house? He's 90, 91 years old. And what has happened? He's made Laban rich with his efforts. And his implication is that you have not paid me according to what you have yielded by my efforts. So I still have nothing after 14 years of working for you that helps me gain income myself. You know, I'm keeping my family alive. I don't know if he got a stipend or they get to eat, you know, from the flock or whatever, but he wasn't building his own wealth. It was still all Laban's stuff. He, you know, whatever he ate was Laban's food. Whatever he drank was Laban's stuff. Whatever he lived in was Laban's stuff. Okay? So then Laban understands. He doesn't argue at all. In verse 31, he says, what shall I give you? So that's his response. Laban doesn't argue with the fact that he had little, doesn't argue to the fact that now he has a lot, and doesn't argue to the fact that Jacob has nothing to show for it. What shall I give you? No argument at all. So he basically is agreeing with what Jacob just said on three counts here. Laban affirms by asking terms. Now Jacob answers wisely and he says, if you shall not give me anything. Notice he corrects Laban. And I think this is purposeful because he wants to set the, no. We're not going to view this like you're doing me a favor because I've worked for you 14 years and that wasn't a favor either. I worked for my wives. I earned my wives. You've given me nothing. Right? So the terminology is a big deal. And I think this actually reflects at least some wisdom when negotiating with people, is to pay attention to the terms. Lawyers make their living off of the words that are written on paper. No, it says this, actually, not this. And teenagers do too. Not my teenagers.
Not your teenagers.
But, you know, it's like, well, you said clean my room. You didn't say anything about my bed. Right? You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying anybody can be like that. Right? It's like, well, you said this. You didn't say, you know. And so terminology is important, and that's true in the legal sense. And Jacob is negotiating a legal kind of contract with Laban here. But he says, I just to let you know, we're not talking in the terms of give. You're not working on the basis of you being generous, because you're not generous, and I work for everything I get from you. So we're not going to go on the term of gift. This isn't a gift from you. So reset your thinking here. You shall not give me anything. So then here's the term. If you will do this thing for me, then I will again feed and keep your flock. So he's doing all the daily ongoing chores and of moving the flocks around so they can eat, feeding the flocks. I don't know what seasonal cycles there were. Did he have to store up grain so that they eat at different times of the year when there wasn't stuff to eat on the ground? You know, things like that. I don't know. But he had to feed and care for the flock. And you'll see the next time around that he was responsible for anything that was killed or lost or stolen. Okay? So it was at that level of responsibility. So this is what I'll do if, and he goes, this is my terms here. These are my terms. Verse 32 and 33. Let me pass through all your flock today. So we're going to start today. And this is kind of like paying me back wages, kind of, a little bit, because he's getting all of this up front now. Okay? And Laban's not arguing. Now, the criteria he lists here, I'll mention in a minute, but it must be that it wasn't that many to start with. Now, what's the criteria here? Let me pass through all your flock today, removing from there all the speckled and spotted sheep and the brown ones. So what are the three criteria here for sheep?
Speckled.
Speckled, spotted, and brown. And we must assume then that most of the sheep are off-white or what, you know, whatever. But these are the ugly or the not so nice looking ones, okay. And then he also had goats that went in with this deal. He says, brown ones among the lambs, okay. And it must be just lambs. I don't know enough about sheep to know if there's a difference, you know, if the lambs are brown. And then the spotted and speckled among the goats. So the spotted and speckled, I'll just put them in the same order here, but speckled and spotted among the goats. He doesn't say. Okay, so that's the deal. Let me go through and take all of these today. And it must have been a nice tiny minority, because Laban doesn't even balk at it. It must be that the norm was all the sheep normally look this way. These are the odd-looking sheep, the unusual. They're the rare, unique ones, okay? That's what it appears like. Now, I think Jacob is no dummy. One guy used to say he's dumb like a fox. Okay? So I think he might, I don't know, either Laban is dumb or Jacob knows that this is something that possibly can be manipulated, okay? I'm not saying he's even being dishonest, though he does some things that, I don't know, I don't think could help at all, but he thinks they will. Now, notice here, So, now this is verse 33. Why do you... this seems to indicate that after 14 years, he doesn't trust Laban any farther than he can throw an elephant. Notice here, verse 33, it says, so my... you might want to circle this. Righteousness will answer for me. Because what is he worried about?
Someone accusing him of stealing.
Yes. He's accusing Laban... He's assuming that Laban will try to say, well, you took more than you had coming. Because Jacob knew he's going to keep expanding, and Laban's going to try and manipulate the market, so to speak, so that Jacob doesn't have more than what he's having. Jacob's looking forward to prospering. He has no doubt that he's going to prosper. He's prospered for 14 years, Laban's stuff. Now he's going to take Laban's stuff, but he needs something that is obvious. The word is overt. It's evident to everyone that this is my stuff, not your stuff. Okay? So notice here, he says, so my righteousness will answer for me in time to come. So Jacob is making a deal that cannot be changed. You know, by misunderstood. It can't be misunderstood. Okay? Speckled, spotted, and then for the lambs, brown. Okay? And speckled and spotted goats. All right? And then notice he says, everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the lambs will be considered stolen if it is with me. So there's the terms. If I have any of these, you can accuse me. Otherwise, what's the implication? You can't. Because that's like spray, not even spray paint, man. You can't cheat that stuff. Okay, either they're white or whatever they normally are, or they're not. And these are yours. These are yours, and these are mine, and there's no mistake. Okay? Jacob is very, very prudent. Very careful to say, you're not giving me anything. Here's the terms. What does Laban say? Sure. Laban accepts his offer. That's why I think it's probably a small number. He doesn't even... there's no qualms. Sure. You know, 99% of my sheep are white. This is great. Great deal. He doesn't even try to change it. Well, how about just the speckled and not this? He doesn't go into that because apparently those are so unusually, you know, I don't say rare, but a small number, that it's not a big deal. But Jacob is securing a deal that cannot be changed, even though I don't fully understand it. But he does say that you later on to Laban that you've changed my wages 10 times. Okay. So Laban accepts Jacob's offer. That's point number four. Okay. Oh, according that it were according to your word. Done. Signed. Where do I sign? Shake hands. Let's do it. So then, verse 35. So Jacob, he removed that day the male goats that were speckled and spotted and all the female goats that were speckled and spotted, everyone that had some white in it, and all the brown ones among the lambs, and gave them into the hand of his sons. Then he put 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob, and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. Okay, so number five, Jacob begins... it's a new era in Jacob's life. Jacob begins his job with the new terms. The old terms were, I get one daughter, and then, oh, I gave you the wrong daughter. We'll work for another 7 years, and I'll give you the other daughter. That was the terms. Those are over, and now it's like, okay, I get the speckled, spotted, and the brown lambs. Okay. All right. That sounds like a good deal. And again, it seems like that's the unusual, because Laban had no qualms about that at all. Now, notice here, under the number five here, Jacob removes the agreed goats, and I should say sheep. Okay. Jacob gives them to his sons to care for. Okay, it's instant family business now. Now, I don't know if his sons helped him before or not. You know, but his sons would have been up to 20 years old, or 14 years old, I guess, at the time. Somewhere 14, 13, 14 years old, the oldest ones. Then Jacob moves 3 days' journey away. That's quite a distance. I don't know what 3 days' journey is. Because it's 3 days' journey with your family, 3 days' journey on foot, 3 days' journey on a horse running as fast as you can, 3 days' journey on a camel running fast. You know, what is that? I don't know. But it's far enough away so that it takes 3 days to get there. That's like California and driving time, isn't it now? Something like that. So 3 days' journey. But he's still responsible for Laban's to feed and keep his sheep. Okay? Questions or comments to that point?
Isn't 36 really long? It sounds to me like Laban put 3 days traveling between himself and Jacob.
Oh, you're right. I think you're right, Jim. It looks like...
Unless it's a typo or something.
Unless it's his son.
So... It looks like see, because the thing that threw me off, because Laban says, did Laban remove that day the male goats? But it gave them to the hand of his sons. Maybe Laban gave them to his own sons. That could be.
It could be there's a title and it's supposed to be his sons. I don't know, just a...
Yeah, I don't think there's a typo, but I think you're correct. It looks like possibly Laban is the one to remove that, remove the ones, and then gave them to his sons. So maybe Laban was kind of holding the wallet, in a sense. Does that make sense?
So remove that day, the male goats.
Well, it says he.
Yeah,
and
Laban right there.
It looks like it's talking about Laban. Because that's who was talking last. And then if that's the case, then Laban gave them to his sons. And it's kind of like, okay, Laban doesn't trust Jacob or wants the ability to manipulate the deal.
Unless Laban gave them to Jacob's sons.
Yeah, it could be.
Well, the ones who are moving away are the ones that...
Yeah, and it looks like Laban moved away. No, but I'm saying that's Laban, though. He's like, okay, we'll do the deal, and then my sons will watch them. You know, they'll be there. That doesn't seem outside the realm. Laban still contains control of all the flock by virtue of his sons being there. And that does make sense, Jim and Jim. Well, it does make sense because... They go to shear their stuff, and that later on, and that's when Jacob flees. When the Laban's sons are away, so that is very likely that's the case. Then, so good observation there. So he in verse 35 is probably Laban, and he probably gives him into the hands of his sons, as if you will, the manager, the supervisor, or whatever, to watch over Jacob to make sure that the deal is the deal.
That way they can't. When the flocks separated that far, there's no possible way that there could be an intermingling again and having to resort to sheep and okay, now we're.
Well, yeah, they're separated, but they're also separated still under the control of Laban's sons, it looks like.
It says the same.
There's no typo. It's
just the word. It's almost looks like it's an ambiguous phraseology of the way the thing is. It may be Jacob's sons. It may be Laban's sons.
But it kind of looks like Laban's sons if you take it in context. There's probably a way to check on it. Whether you can actually affirm it or not in Hebrew, I don't know. But I'll check on it and see. But right now, it looks like Laban separated them and put him under the control of his sons.
This
to kind of...
The Study Bible, it says at the bottom, Laban separated the animal and Mark and then all animals of Jacob's care. So Laban did the separation.
Yeah.
Laban is a Canaanite. Well,
right. No, and that's what it looks like. I think...
But you have two men standing there and they trust each other like pops in a hen house. I mean, basically, all right, we'll let you do the separating. This, you're going to do it. And these are the terms, and so they're out there sorting this thing. And of course, if you ever try to sort sheep, or if you ever try to work anything with sheep, you realize they're very cooperative animals, they're very cooperative beasts, not, and you could, you know, a lot, that sheep I might have counted three times. That's what they're trying to avoid. They're separating these things out, so, all right, there's your sheep, Jacob, go get them.
But I mean, still, it looks like Laban did it under his son. So his sons, even though Laban's Jacob's responsible for all the sheep, and even though he gets all the speckled, spotted, and the brown lambs, they're in our yard, kind of keeping an eye on them, kind of thing. All right.
In verse 40, Laban's flock still includes brown speckles. So is that part he gave to his sons? Because he says
no. I think what this we'll get to this in a second. Okay. But I think it doesn't prevent Laban's sheep and goats from having speckled, spotted, or brown babies. And that's what happened. Okay, so that's where we get there. So, but I think you're correct, Jim Long. It's Laban who separated him, and Laban who put him under his. And then it looks like Laban's the one who went to the summer house. Then, you know, take care of it. His son, Laban's sons, are still around to kind of keep an eye on things. Laban's just going to go and enjoy life. Okay. Now, very good. Number six here. Jacob works and prospers. Okay. Verse 37. Now, Jacob took for himself rods. See, this is where I don't understand, because there's nothing scientifically accurate about this. This isn't the way it works. Jacob thinks it might work this way, or might help. The power of suggestion, if you will, to the animals or something. That's what it looks like anyway. But, or some kind of chemical in the plants or something, I don't know. But Jacob took for himself rods of green poplar and of the almond and chestnut trees, peeled white stripes in them, and expose the white which is in the rods. Okay, unless there's some kind of chemical reaction that I don't know about. He's just got striped sticks. Okay? Verse 38, and the rods which he had peeled, he set before the flocks in the gutters, in the watering troughs where the flocks came to drink, so that they could conceive when they came to drink. Okay? I don't get that at all. Yeah, I just don't know.
Especially the almond.
So the verse 39, so the flocks conceived before the rods, and the flocks brought forth streaked, speckled, and spotted. Now, did they bring spotted, speckled, and streaked because of the sticks? Or, I've heard some people say it's like putting them in stalls with sticks like this, like how they milk sheep, or I'm milk sheep. They do milk sheep, but not very much. But you know how they milk cows, they put stuff there. Did it? He hold them there so that the males could mate with the females and manipulate the flock that way. I don't know. But the way to conceive before the troughs is, you know, it takes a male and a female, obviously, so it isn't just the sticks, obviously. So did he hold them there so that they could conceive? That gives me a little bit of an idea later. It says, then Jacob separated the lambs and made the flocks face toward the street, and all the brown in the flock of Laban. But he put his own flocks by themselves and did not put them with Laban's flocks. So the white ones are, or whatever color they're supposed to be. I don't know. They might be brown ones to start with. But so they couldn't mate with the white ones, and therefore the white ones weren't going to mate with the streaked ones and produce white ones. So Jacob was manipulating the breeding. Okay? And again, is that wrong or not? It seems like it would be to me, ethically. But at the same time, he's in charge of the flock, and Laban said he did. There was no stipulation. So is Jacob breaking any rules? No. They only argued about the results, not the means, right? So he didn't really say anything but I get the results, the spotted, the speckled, and the brown there, okay? So he wasn't allowing interbreeding with the ones of Laban's, so they weren't going to produce, his own were going to produce all the time spotted and speckled, okay? Because that's what spotted and speckled apparently produce. So everything that Jacob had would continue to produce those, and then Jacob seemed to let the spotted and speckled ones mate with the female white ones or whatever, so it produced more spotted and speckled, okay? Like you said, he's dumb as a fox, right? And it came to pass whenever the stronger livestock conceived that Jacob placed the rods before the eyes of the flock, livestock in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. And again, are the rods chemical? Are the, you know, is he thinking that, or is he somehow holding them there so that the healthy ones conceive with the, you know, the spotted ones or whatever? He says, but when the flocks were feeble, he did not put them in. So the feebler were Laban's and the stronger were Jacob's. So he got not only speckled and spotted, but also healthy. Thus, the man became exceedingly prosperous and had large flocks, female and male servants, and camels and donkeys on top of it. Okay, he was able to make enough to really expand his business. And by the way, this all happened in 6 years. Because he was only there 20 altogether. So in 6 years' time, he went from basically the spotted, speckled, and the brown lambs and the spotted and speckled goats, which must not have been a whole lot, to where he had the majority of the flock, it appears. Later, next week we'll see that. And they were all healthy. And he had enough income to have male and female servants, camels, and donkeys as well. So, what are your observations, or what are even the lessons here? Right. If someone's going to be dishonest, they'll be dishonest to the nth degree. And so every detail is important. You know, and it either results in that clause is in there because somebody else cheated somebody because it wasn't in there. I always think of, like, you know, why would you have on a hairdryer, do not use this in your bathtub? Well, probably because somebody used it in their bathtub and killed themselves accidentally, you know, whatever. You know what I mean? It's like, well, and then they have to put it on there. Probably not because the normal person isn't going to use it, but because it's like they have to, they'll get sued. Yeah.
One of the things that as you were talking, I was thinking that 14 years is an awful long time to tend somebody's sheep and not learn something about sheep. It's not that Jacob was ignorant about it, but
right.
he had his own family of sheep. But I just wondered if while he was sitting there, he was watching that this yo is meeting with this ram, and they would throw up this.
Right.
And he would
understand genetics.
He would understand genetics. Yeah. And of course, you have a person like Laban, he could care less.
Yeah.
But
you just keep it growing, buddy.
Yeah.
Wink, wink, and I'll be 3 days away.
Yeah. And the thing is, if you know the genetics, well, this yo and this thing from this one that's already out three days away, well, they know that these two are going to throw off this
shot. Right.
And then all of a sudden, well, wait a minute. Jacob comes up and says, that's mine.
Yeah. Now it does seem that Jacob manipulated things that way, but again, you can, and this is what Jane and I wrestle a lot with this stuff, because whether it's Jacob having more than one wife. And God blesses Jacob anyway, through all four wives, by the way. You know, that doesn't seem congruent with what God has taught. And it is not. But we said that God works in and through our bad choices, too. That doesn't mean it wouldn't have been better if we had made good choices. And oftentimes we're grieved until we die because of the bad choices we make. But God worked in and through that anyway, because God is bigger than us and our sin and our mistakes. And I would say here, if I were to write one lesson, that God blessing, maybe I'll say God, I'm going to say this slightly different. God's blessings, because he said he's going to bless Jacob, right? Land, seed, and blessing. God's blessings, I'm going to say usually rather than always, usually come through difficult circumstances hard work and extended periods of, well, I kind of have that up here, time.
To me, this would be a hard lesson to teach the kids, because it kind of says, well, it wasn't illegal, but it was kind of immoral that he did this, and he got ahead and he got blessed. At least that's my take on it.
Right.
It was dishonest.
Right.
By the contract, but it was kind of morally wrong. There's a lot of things in my life. Legal,
right.
Morally wrong.
Right.
And this, to me, is morally
wrong. Right.
So it would be hard for me to teach that to kids because I wouldn't know how to explain it to them.
Right. And that's why I kind of write this down. I'd say this lesson here is one that I think is fair to say is true regardless of the connivings of either Laban or Jacob.
Or David.
Yes. Any of the, you know. God's blessing usually comes through difficult circumstances. Dory mentioned suffering, and that would be included in there. Hard work and extended periods of time. Jacob ended up becoming exceedingly wealthy, but he's now spent 20 years of his life working with livestock is 7 days a week. Right?
It's one of the lowest jobs.
Yeah, and the longest in the, you know, night and day. And he brings it up next time around. We'll talk about, you know, is in the, when it's cold and all that, you have to be out there. And when the troubles are there, you know, they don't schedule you for, I always joked about it, in the Army, it had to be dark and wet in order for us to go to the field, you know, because it seemed like it always had to rain and there was no moon in the sky, so you're walking around just super dark at night. And the same thing, you know, the worst things that happen to your car are usually on the coldest day of the year, or, you know, it's raining out or whatever. Same thing, that's what he had to go through. Now, as far as the... I'll read it again, but God's blessings usually come, that was right in the first place, through difficult circumstances, hard work, and extended periods of time. And that's the one takeaway I'd say that you can take away from this, that God blessed Jacob, but it took a long time and hard work. And by the way, it was difficult circumstances because Laban was not fair at all. And I'm not so sure if that factors in either, if Jacob, and I'm not trying to justify what seems to be the dishonest way to do things or whatever. But Jacob goes on to say that you've changed my wages 10 times. So Jacob had to almost do this in order to have anything at the end. So again, I'm not justifying it. God doesn't reprimand him, but he doesn't affirm it either. He just, Jacob ends up with that, you know. But it took a long time. His blessing did not come for him sitting on the couch. Jane and I often tease, you know, oh, she's a stay-at-home mom. She just sits around, eats bonbons, and watches soap operas on the couch or something. And she doesn't watch soap operas. She doesn't eat bonbons. She doesn't sit on the couch hardly ever. But I'm saying, people don't get there. God doesn't bless you by sitting and doing nothing. God blesses you as you actively work and you know, seek to accomplish things. Jacob just didn't inherit a bunch of money. Here's a big check. Be happy. Have
what
fun.
What amazes me is the size of Laban's property to the point where he separates, and then he still has a flock that Jacob watches and has oversight over, and he still comes out ahead. I mean, it's just, this way. I mean, he's doing, like you say, he's doing it legally. Now we're going to work for my wages. And then God blesses in that way, and Jacob's able to walk away with an enormous amount of sheep, a more enormous amount of property, even after there was this initial parting of ways, I mean, part of that at the first. And God just over, you know, in sovereignty, just basically oversaw this whole thing, and Jacob came out ahead.
Yeah. Maybe the way too is, and maybe this is part of the reason why it says it, but Laban didn't stick around to help. So he basically left all the management up to Jacob to do what he wanted, and Jacob had that freedom to do what he wanted. I don't know. Well, it's all about, everything is about God's sovereignty, but it's still hard to justify Jacob having two wives plus two handmaidens, and you know what I'm saying? It's hard to work through all of that. Why would God not say, Jacob, don't be doing that?
I guess it's not for us to
know. No. But it's fair to wrestle with, and like I said, I think there's things you can observe without saying it's okay to cheat. Because I don't think it is. Right? So
we're going to run into this throughout Scripture.
Yeah.
I mean,
Jenny mentioned David.
I think Rahab.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, but I think like David spent the rest of his life having fights in his family.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, so it's not like he came out ahead ultimately. And Jacob faces a lot of this throughout, well, as Joseph gets older, as we'll see.
Well, the way you see that God blesses imperfect people, so you think, I'm the greatest perfect, so I have a chance to be the best here.
And I think that's a perfect principle, that God blesses imperfect people and therefore I can be blessed. It just can't be a motivation that maybe I'll just be really imperfect. You know, that's not what God is. I don't think that's what God is saying here for sure. So, all right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. And Lord, there are things that are just hard to get our brain around. But we know that you're not affirming sin. We do know that you promised to bless Jacob, not necessarily because, or for sure, not because he would be dishonest or manipulate things, but we do see that at times he did that. But we pray that you would help us to understand that your blessing does not come often through easy things or for us doing nothing, but you bless us as we seek to work for your honor and glory. And we pray that you'd help us to do that. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.